In Luke chapter 18, we find the Lord speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them that he's going to go up to Jerusalem. He's going to be delivered to the Gentiles. He would be mocked, scourged, spit upon, shamefully treated, and he would be killed. And in verse 34, we read that they, the disciples, understood none of these things. What was so difficult about what Jesus said? It was clear. They were going up to Jerusalem. He was going to be killed. And it was only after the resurrection that they would understand and comprehend those words of Jesus. Why didn't they understand? They didn't understand because their minds were closed. They just plain and simply didn't get it. And in fact, in verse 34, Luke adds the emphasis three times to the fact that they did not understand. For the disciples, what Jesus was saying to them and what had been clearly established in the prophecies was not a reality. Jesus had said at the very beginning of his ministry, as you will recall, after Cana of Galilee, where Jesus turned the water into wine, they went up to Jerusalem. And there Jesus took a whip and he drove the money changers out of the temple. And the Jews were hot with anger. And they said to Jesus, "What's a sign that you do these things?" And he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 46 days I will raise it up." And he said, to them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." And they said, "What? It took 46 years to build this temple and will you raise it up in 3 days?" And they didn't get it either. And the disciples didn't understand those words because Jesus was speaking about his body. You see, with Jesus, it wasn't what was out there. It wasn't the magnificence of the temple. It wasn't the glory of the temple. It wasn't all that was associated with that physical temple, that building. It was all about what was in here, in his body. Surely, that's what it is for us. And so as we come here this morning, we are here to remember the body. The body that was given of our Lord. It was only when Jesus was risen that they remembered. And when we're in Luke 18, we're coming near the end of the ministry. And the disciples were a divided lot. 3.5 years with the Lord, and they just couldn't get it together. They couldn't even agree amongst themselves. They were a broken fellowship, divided as to who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, who would be the greatest in the government of Jesus. They just didn't understand. But then, after he was risen, what a transformation. What a change. For this same Luke, he records in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 1 that they all came together with one accord. They were there and they were agreed. They were in one fellowship. And what had done it with the resurrection of the Lord? If only they could have contemplated that much earlier. But you see, as Luke so ably conveys to us, their minds were shut. They didn't see it. And they were like the Jews. They could only see the things around them. They couldn't see the glory that would be established in the risen Lord. Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians, he makes sure that he emphasizes the point in the 15th chapter in verse 3. I delivered unto you first of all that Christ, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he hath been raised on the third day. So Paul establishes it very clearly that Jesus was raised on the third day. And that's the essential gospel message. Jesus was raised. And so, in that beautiful exposition that he gives to us in his epistle to the Romans, there is nothing deeper, nothing more profound, nothing more beautiful than what Paul writes when he writes of the seed of David according to the flesh, that he was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. And that word holiness, according to Strong, it properly refers to the quality behind that holiness. And so he was declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so it was by the resurrection. And as we turn the page and we come to the 6th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, we see where this brings us. We see what it does as far as we are concerned. Therefore, Paul says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's us. And that's what it does for us. We should walk in newness of life. The great change has taken place. The transformation in our own lives has come about because Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. And as we come here week after week to remember the event, yes, we will enter into his death. But brothers and sisters, we come alive because of his resurrection. It's the resurrection that gives us the power, the dunamis, the dynamics of our faith. So says Paul, as he writes to the Philippians in the 3rd chapter. Those are the words that reflect just what the resurrection does for us. In the 3rd chapter, Paul says, verse 11, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is of God. By faith. We have a trust. We trust God. For what he has done in Christ, he will do in us. It empowers us. It gives us life. And all of this, says Paul, that I may know him intimately. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. And made conformable is to assimilate. And if we have some difficulty understanding the word assimilate, it's what happens when we digest food. It's assimilated into our bodies. That's assimilation. This is what we do with the fellowship of his suffering. We enter in to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We become conformable unto his death. We absorb him into our systems. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which are for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees, and here's the Apostle Paul in prayer. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. To the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Paul's prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And it's only according to that power that worketh in us that there will be glory in the assembly of God's people. What can we offer anyone if we don't offer something different? If we don't offer something unique? If we don't offer something that's life-changing? If it's not dynamic and alive? And this is the power of the resurrection that will work in every one of us, if we will have faith. If we will have faith in the power of God to change us day after day. When the disciples were on the road up to Jerusalem, they didn't get it. They just did not understand. Do we get it? Do we understand? We know that we're here today to contemplate his death. Do we understand that we're here today to live his resurrection?